You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Amen. Title today is Gaining a Heart of Wisdom. We're going to complete our series of studies on the book of Psalms, and we're going to read Psalm 90 today, so you feel free to turn down. I will show it to the whole congregation on the slide, but you can feel free to turn to it in your Bible. You know, over the past couple of months, many of us have experienced just about the whole spectrum of life. I know I have. I've been at funerals, was at Jay's father's funeral, visited the hospital to see friends, visited with Patricia in the heartbreaking time as her daughter passed on into eternity. Had the joy of doing a wedding here on the West Side. Got to visit and participate or celebrate the wedding of one of my best friend's sons. We've had three new babies welcomed into the West Side in the past couple months. Amen. We've seen baptisms of teens and campus and professionals. We've had friends who've been diagnosed with cancer, and we've been sitting by their side and we've been praying as a congregation for them. We all gathered with 5,000 and we're worshiping and celebrating at the Jubilee. Life truly is full of highs and lows and celebration and loss, beginnings and endings, joy and grief. Moses knew this reality also. He saw miracles, the Red Sea parting, manna from heaven feeding the people, but he also had to bury his older sister and older brother, Aaron. He endured 40 years wandering with a complaining people. And perhaps most painfully, Moses himself was told by God that because of his disobedience and striking the rock instead of speaking to the rock when they needed water, which was a miracle to get water from a rock. But God then said, you know, you're not going to enter into the promised land. You'll only see it from a distance. Psalm 90 is a reflection attributed, the one psalm attributed to Moses. It's called A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. What a title. You know, what a legacy. My prayer is that today we can all say we are men and women of God. Amen? Let's go ahead and read the psalm together. A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you and our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Doesn't sound too encouraging right there, but hang in. Our days may come to 70 or 80 years if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. And here's really the heart of the psalm. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord, our God, rest on us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Powerful prayer of Moses. Many writers think he wrote this during the time after his brother and sister had passed, after he'd wandered in the desert for 40 years, when God told him, you're not going to enter the promised land. And he felt the weight of the highs and the lows of life. And so as we strive to gain a heart of wisdom, I have 3 points. My first comes from the first verse of this psalm, which is God is our dwelling place. And he says that, doesn't he, in verse 1? Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Now, they had lived in Egypt. Then they had wandered from place to place throughout the desert. But Moses does not begin with himself, but with God. And he makes it clear that our true home is not a tent in the desert. He says it's not in Egypt, not even in the promised land. Our home is with the Lord. And that is a needed reminder for all of us. We often can think of our dwelling place as simply our home. It's not easy to own one here, but we can all rent one, and we like having a place to stay, to lay our head. But where do we put our comfort? Our neighborhood? Our country? Our street? Moses says no. Our true dwelling place is God himself. You've heard the cliche, home is where the heart is. Where do we rest our hearts? I like this quote from St. Augustine. It's very famous. We've heard it many times. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And that is a truth that we can all attest to. I know I can attest to it. Striving, constant striving after attainment in life doesn't bring the ultimate peace and rest that we desire. See, the scripture teaches that God is eternal, right? It says in the text, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We're but a breath. Now, eternity is hard to comprehend. It's hard to wrap our mind around. The Hebrew word, I was reading from Chuck Smith, a famous Southern California preacher in the old days, and he talked about how this word everlasting is, it means the vanishing point in Hebrew, like as far back as you can remember. I remember as a 2 or 3 year old, I remember holding my dad's hand crossing the street. That's about the earliest memory, but then it vanishes. I can think forward into life, like, okay, what's eternity look like? Hard to comprehend. This guy, Chuck Smith, I read a little analogy. I want you to think about it. I don't know how big you can think, but imagine a seagull right here on the West Coast, maybe dipping its beak into the ocean in Santa Monica, taking that little beak full of water, flying all across the United States and dumping it in the New York Harbor where the Atlantic Ocean is. And then flying back and doing it again and again and again until he emptied the whole Pacific and the Atlantic, which I know is not really possible, but if he could do it, it would only be the first day of eternity. Eternity is just beyond our mind's comprehension. And that is where God resides. If we want to rest with God in eternity, we will need to rest with our eternal Father in the here and now. Amen? If we want to gain wisdom, we need to ask, where's our peace come from? Where's our comfort come from? Where do we really call our home? Many of the psalmists knew our home is when we're connected to our eternal Father in a spiritual way. Amen? The challenge I have for you guys this week with this point is simply this. Begin each of your prayers this week saying, Lord, you are my dwelling place. My home is in you. Amen. And the second thing I want to point out in this Psalm 90 is that life is short, right? The text was really clear. And so the challenge is to live with a holy urgency. And of course, I love the depth of the text. It talks about eternity and the breath of life and how short our life really is. Moses says we're like grass sprouting in the morning, withering by evening. Our years may reach 70 or 80, but they quickly pass away. We fly away. Our souls fly away. Yeah, some live far past 80, but the average lifespan is in that realm. I don't know about you, but I'm past the halfway mark. And when you think about that, it's sobering. I felt this truth in a profound way some years ago when I had the privilege of going to the Middle East as part of our church supports Middle East, and the old church I was in out in the Inland Empire also supports Middle East. And I had the privilege to go out to Amman, Jordan to visit our church. And while there, I visited with a man named Simon Al-Hin. Simon was a college student when he got baptized back in the 80s. And he had to go back home to Amman, Jordan after he finished school. We didn't have a church in Amman, Jordan. He had become a part of our San Diego church, but he goes, I'm not going to wait until they send a church. And he began to share his faith with his own brothers and sisters and relatives. And he ended up baptizing his brother, a couple of his sisters. Interestingly, his nephew, Fadi Alhin, was the brother who preached to us back at the end of June, that lesson about the Middle East, which is a direct result of what Simon did. So here's a picture of Simon right here. Take a look at this. This is Simon and I on Mount Nebo. This is where Moses was at when God said, you will only see the promised land. And you know, Simon made it clear we can't just wait to see God's promises from a distance. We've got to act. And he did that in his own life, and it made a tremendous difference. It was a privilege to get to spend time with him. Then, you know, we walked to the edge, and there's a little sign there on the edge of Mount Nebo that tells you how far away Jerusalem is, or Hebron, or how far away these biblical cities are from that site. And then as you walk past the sign, this is the view. You see, that's really the physical promised land that Moses didn't get to enter, right? That's the physical promised land that he didn't get to enter. We do know, because we see him on the Mount of Transfiguration, that he made the true spiritual promised land. Amen. But we need to have a holy urgency about our lives. When we evaluate, it goes fast. How many of us think we're past halfway? How many of us think, no, I'm not halfway there yet? All right, it's about 50-50-ish, all right? One of humanity's greatest mistakes is believing we have more time. We say, I'll start tomorrow. But tomorrow is not promised. See, sacred urgency says love today, act today, forgive today, give today. You know, as we plan each year to support world missions, it is important because souls are important. And we're closing it out today as a congregation. It's the end of August. We're closing out our world missions giving. Thank you for those who've sacrificed. We're so grateful for it. It makes a difference. It changes lives. We have many churches over there in the Middle East, really because Simon, he began to share his faith. He acted. As soon as he showed up, he couldn't come back to America, didn't have his visa. He started sharing his faith right where he was at. You've got to be willing to live with holy urgency. Amen? You know, really doing that, it means immersing ourselves not in doing more things, but doing things that matter. We don't just do busy work. We do work that matters in eternity. And that means immersing ourselves in our Creator and in His love. I hope you made last week's small group gathering. I enjoyed it quite a lot. I joined over at CJ's place, and he did a cool lesson. And I love this one quote. I don't know if you heard it last week. It's a quote on inner peace. And it says, if you acquire the spirit of peace, then 1,000 souls around you will be saved. That's from St. Seraphim of Sarov. Inner peace leads to changed lives. And that means prioritizing what we have done, which is putting our prayer lives, our spiritual formation, our connection to God is important. I'm grateful as a congregation we've embraced that and have been going after that. Amen. As we think about our practical life, there's other things. Steve, how do I plan my day? Years and years ago, I read a great book, a bestseller. It was called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. By Stephen Covey. How many of you guys have read that? Okay, some of the old folks. The young folk, I want to encourage you to pull it out. It was a bestseller back in the day. It's amazing. The third of the 7 habits is called First Things First. And in that, it talks about making sure that you do the important things, that you schedule into your life the important things, not just urgent things. Sometimes urgent things just take all our time and we forget to do the important things. So what are the important things? Well, he talks about you have to evaluate what your roles in life are. What are the roles that you have on this earth? Now, we all have one great role. We're here today. We're children of God. So our number one role is being a great child of God, being a partner to Jesus, right? To connect with him. That's role number one. So as you schedule out your week, hey, good job. You made it to worship service, right? You got to schedule your quiet time. I get my quiet time at 6:30 every morning from Tracy. She sends it out. You know, I read that amongst many other things. Many of you do this. It's fantastic. You've got to prioritize that, right? You also then have to think, what other roles do I have? Well, I'm a husband. And the Bible's really clear. If you're a husband or a wife, your number two relationship next to God is your spouse. And you got to plan that into your schedule. I confess, I didn't prioritize Carrie too much when I planned the Jubilee. Then I planned a little vacation getaway after the Jubilee, and I prioritized her all week, and she loved it. We connect. It was so much fun. Right, it was just her and I the whole time. Just us. No kids. Just us. Prioritized. Then I got back and got in the mix of the ministry and started going, oh, there's things to do. There's things to do. And like 3 days go by, and it's like, hey, are we just roommates? I was like, no. You are my, next to my walk with God, you are my number one priority. I am sorry. We all have to do that. Some of us don't have spouses. You know, we have children. Okay, that would be number three on the priority list, right? Then that's a priority. Now, I have children who are, guess what? Adults. They're out. They're done. They're out of the house. So I started thinking, hey, for me, what's my priority now? I mean, I love them, but, you know, I started thinking, Jesus, he spent his time with people who wanted to learn and grow and become spiritual. So people, other people whom you can impart the word to, mentor, be mentored by, connect to, that is a priority. What did Jesus spend his time doing? He didn't spend his time on programs. He spent his time with people. People are what matter. Amen. We each have to take a good look at our schedule, how we handle things, what we do. Recently, I was over at our dear brother Hanley's house. And on Hanley's wall, he had this picture, and I was like, what is this? It was like a picture of all these boxes, and it had little rows all the way down to 80. And he says, each box is 1 week, and there's like, you know, across the bottom, there's 52 across the bottom, and then it goes down to 80 years. And I check off every time a week in my life passes. And so here's the picture on his wall. You can take a quick look at it. And all the darkened ones are the weeks of his life that are gone. And the not darkened ones are the weeks he has left in life. And he's like, I want to make them count. I don't want my life to just end and not use them wisely. He's like, you see your life ebbing away. You want a heart of wisdom. You have to take a good look. How are you using your life? Moses said, help us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Amen. The challenge for each of us is to take a good look at our lives and go, if we truly believe time is short, how would I prioritize my day? What would I do? What do I not want to forget to get done in my life? Let's be a people that change the world because we use each day for its true worth and value. Amen. The last point I want to make is this. You know, Jesus is the bright morning star. As you go down in the psalm, there is some discouraging pieces in there that God sees our sin and, you know, our days end with a moan. And sometimes do we feel that way? A little bit like, oh, man. I mean, yesterday we went to the UCLA game and Nathan and I, we were moaning. Yeah, we were moaning. Sorry to bring it up. Like some things are just hard in life. But you know what? God gave us an answer to all of that. And that is Jesus. And I like how in the psalm right here, he says, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. How can that be possible? Well, there's passages in the text, in the New Testament, that say, Jesus is our bright morning star. That really, how can we rejoice? The scriptures teach us to rejoice in the Lord always, right? Ephesians says that, or Philippians says, Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. How can we possibly do that when life is challenging? Because of Jesus, because he gives us this incredible hope. Jesus shows us the way to happiness because it shows us the way to live with true purpose. I like this text here in Revelation. It says, here's Jesus himself. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Jesus is the bright morning star. We face God's discipline, but Jesus is the dawn after the night. He's the one who rises in our heart. And because of him, we can live each day with confidence because we get a new start in Christ. Every day, he truly gives us a bright new morning. I don't know about you. I can be a night owl, but I love early morning. I love watching the sun come up. Last week, Mike Steffen, one of the elders from Lifeway, called me up, or he sent me a text late at night on Tuesday night. And I think I was with the campus at the worship time with all of you guys. And he sent me a little message, and he's like, hey, I'm going surfing in Manhattan Beach. I'm going to be there before the sun comes up. And, it was already late. I was hanging out at the guy's house, so really late. And but I was like, I'll be there. And when you're out there and, you know, we're out on the water. I was with Mike out on the water at Manhattan Beach. And all of a sudden, the sun comes up. And you just feel this hope. You feel this, this is, being on the water is pretty nice. We are blessed, right, living here. Whatever might be going on, it's blessing living here. You just feel this hope, this excitement, like things are going to be good today. That is the bright morning star. We can feel that in our lives because of Jesus. Amen? We have life. We have death. We have highs. We have lows, but they are not in vain. The things you do are not in vain when you live in Christ. It's awesome to live in Christ. It means we have a purpose that matters. We have hope to forgive us. And yes, our sins, God sees them. And Jesus, he gives us the antidote to them. He says they can be as far away as the east is from the west. We have no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And as the psalmist closes out, as Moses closes out, he says, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. Is he interested in future generations? Oh, yeah. Is he interested in evangelism and changing lives and gospel message and helping God be known? Oh, yeah. He says, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May it pass on to generations. And then the final thing he says is, may the favor, some versions translate it, may the beauty of the Lord rest on us. Remember, Christmas time's coming. What's the verses we read at Christmas time? When Jesus is born, the angels appear, and what do they say? They say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, on whom his favor rests. Moses prayed this prayer, and through Jesus, it is fulfilled. His favor is upon us. What does that favor mean? His beauty, it means he likes you. He likes you. He believes in you. You're sitting here right now and he's like, I like that guy. I like that girl. I'm behind them. It doesn't mean he wants us to just stay the same. He wants us to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. But his favor, his mercies, his grace, he's our dad who says, hey, I like you, son or daughter. I'm behind you. I believe in you. Yes, things have been tough, but there's a new day dawning, and I am with you. I want to help you. Church, as a congregation, we believe in changed lives. Our own lives changing, not just one time, but throughout our life. If you're gathering and visiting with us one or just several times you've been with us, we are a congregation that wants to help each person transform. We have Bible study series that we do. We have small groups that gather so we can build community. But we really have these individual Bible study series to help us really take a good look at our faith, our development, our understanding of salvation. We want to open our hearts up so everyone can go through those and enjoy those. Amen. Jesus is our bright morning star. And as we take communion, I want us to reflect on gaining a heart of wisdom in these three points. Make God your dwelling place. Live with a holy urgency. And through Jesus, realize that he's our morning star. He gives us a new start. He lived for us and he died for us to give us a new start every day. We're going to take communion at this time. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for these incredible prayers that you've given humanity. Thank you for helping us understand these big picture concepts at least a little bit through the writings of these incredible psalmists. Father, we know that we need a new start all the time. We've seen highs and lows, and through Jesus, we can have a hope, regardless of we're in the high or the low of life. A hope can be inside our heart because he is the bright morning star. Thank you for him giving his very life for us and shedding his blood. We thank you as we take the bread to remind us of that body sacrifice and that blood shed as we take the fruit of the vine. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.